events going on today for the Gardener and You. For Tucson residents, starting at 9 o'clock today, Tony Sarah, your Tucson Horti guy, will be talking about rose pruning at 9 o'clock and tomorrow at 11 o'clock. And then Phoenix, you've got the annual rose pruning clinic at Harper's Nursery. Right now, we're in studio with John Eisenhower of Integrity Tree Service, talking trees with a load of calls as well as texts. But let's cover a couple more bullet points. I know you always bring a sermon, a tree sermon with you. And I'm full of bullet points, and we get there and like, I didn't hardly get half my sermon. So, well, that's how you know you have a good sermon when you only get started on it after an hour. But there's some additional classes you have coming up.
We do. We've got a couple of classes. These are primarily for Scottsdale residents. In fact, they request that you are a Scottsdale resident to attend because they're outdoor clinics offered at the corner of Donald Drive and Hayden at the Xeriscape Garden Pavilion on the southeast corner there on Saturday, March 5th and Friday, April 8th from 10 till 1. I'll be teaching those classes. We've been teaching them now for about 5 years. Very popular class, a lot of fun. If you are a Scottsdale resident and you'd like to attend, there's registration online with the City of Scottsdale, and look forward to seeing a bunch more people out there this year. We usually have about 60 or 70 people. I'm hoarse by the end of the time because we've got to talk loud to cover some of the traffic noise, but it's a lot of fun. Hope you can join us. That's Saturday, March 8th and Friday, Saturday, March 5th and Friday, April 8th. We also wanted to mention we have the Tree Climbing Championship coming up at the end of February. I know it's a ways off yet, but mark your calendars for February 27th. The Boyce Thompson Arboretum is hosting the championship this year, and we're looking forward to being out there with a bunch of our employees.
I can't wait. I've never been out there, and I've seen pictures, and I hear stories. I'm going to spend the whole day ahead of that Tree Climbing Championship, just getting a tour of the
Arboretum. It's so much fun. We moved the championship around the state. It's been in Prescott, and it was in Flagstaff last year, and Phoenix has hosted it many times. And this year, Boyce Thompson is going to host again. They hosted it several years back, and we had a lot of fun out there. It's a great place. Bring the whole family. Boyce is such a great location to walk the nature trails out there, see a lot of great trees, and also take in the Tree Climbing Championship on February 27th.
It's east of Mesa, west of Globe.
There you go.
Near Superior.
That's right. Just take the I-60 out that way, and you'll eventually run right into it.
The very same day, we'll be doing the Dr. Sky tour on Canyon Lake.
Oh.
That night. So it could be a whole day event.
You could come back and take that in. That would be fun.
Let's start in San Manuel with Mark on citrus.
Hi, Rosie.
Go ahead, sir.
Sure. Hey, I have a couple little fruit trees. I've called a show before about them, but right now my lemon tree, it's probably, I'd say, 4 feet tall, but it's got one rogue branch that's just growing up tall, and it's, like, going way above all the others, and it just looks weird. Can I trim that branch off, and where should I trim it off at?
Well, not seeing the tree, I would guess that would be a sucker coming up from the rootstock. Most citrus are grafted, and so the rootstock is a different tree than the fruit-producing portion of the canopy. And so usually it's a lemon, and they shoot way up high, and they usually got really big thorns.
One more time, Mark?
This one is actually coming off of the trunk of the tree itself, you know, off the caliper of the tree or whatever, but it's like running around and up through and going way up and out of control.
How high up the trunk is it coming out?
I'd say probably a foot and a half, 2 feet.
It's likely from rootstock, and sometimes there's even an intermediate a section in the middle that holds the tree down too, so you have two different grafts. But it's likely a rootstock when it grows erratically like that, and I would remove that.
Any long-term damage if he leaves it there?
No.
It's just not going to do anything.
It'll take away energy of the tree, and it really kind of disrupts the formation of the canopy itself.
Yeah, it can outgrow the sweet fruit part of the tree and sometimes shade out some of the fruit-bearing branches. So you definitely need to get those out sooner the better.
And San Manuel, you're looking at south of Tucson. A lot of times, I hear a lot of people say, yeah, we grow citrus down here, great. And a lot of people say, no, it gets way too cold. You're just wasting your time. Mm-hmm. For something like that, lemon, you said that's common on lemon. Do you see that on the rest? That's usually the most sensitive of the citrus, or your lemon or your lime.
Yeah, they're the most frost sensitive of the citrus. And yeah, you definitely need to cover those regularly to get some protection.
So that one big, large graft would make it a lot harder to cover. Just yank it out, and you're indefinitely better all around for covering it.
I would make
it.
A correct pruning cut on that. Yeah.
And where is that correct pruning cut on that particular wild limb?
Just at its point of attachment, wherever it comes off the main trunk, go down there and cut that off. And it's a sour orange rootstock normally, and it will bear fruit, but there'll be a sour lemon-like fruit that some people mistake them if you have those on your orange trees. Sometimes people don't realize they have sour oranges and not sweet oranges. And you can trace those back. If you've got the sour oranges on those branches, you'll know, of course, that that's from the rootstock. So you can follow those wayward branches down to their point of attachment and cut them off.
There you go, Mark. Appreciate the call. Let's get to Paul in Sun City, who wants to talk about lemons. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning. My neighbor has a lemon tree. But the lemons, they grow bigger than grapefruits, but when you cut them, they're dry inside.
Yeah, I'm not sure. There's a couple of things you might want. If you had any frost, of course, that's a concern. Sometimes people have fruit that's carry over from the previous year, which is long dried out, and then they pull it off and it's dried out. But you might want to think back, and if we had an early frost, or you're in a cold, especially cold area, sometimes within weeks, that fruit can be can crystallize and then thaw. And when you cut open the fruit, it's already been damaged by the frost. And so it looks dry inside because those cells inside the fruit segments themselves have already frozen and thawed again. And you've just got basically a damaged piece of fruit. That's likely what happened. You might have gotten too much frost, and now you've got what appears to be dry fruit. There is one other thing you might consider, that there might be a nutrient or a water problem somewhere along the line during the fruit development. But if you have full-size fruit that's dry, it's not likely that it was a cultural problem with water or fertilizer, because the fruit apparently sized, and now for it to dry up is not likely a water problem. I would think it would probably be frost.
There is a citrus clinic that's going to be held last weekend of January, I believe, that's sponsored by the U of A.
And it's held at Greenfield Citrus Nursery in Mesa.
And all the experts from the state are there and able to bring your piece of fruit and bring your branches and meet with them and get a lot of really good information.
Yeah, it's a really great clinic. A lot of industry professionals go there to get the latest in information. And they also have a ton of fruit set out on tables, all cut up and ready for you to taste and enjoy. If you're planning to plant citrus, this is a great place to go to get an idea of the wide variety of citrus available. And then you can purchase your trees right there at Greenfield Citrus Nursery, which is our go-to nursery when it comes to buying citrus.
Well, it sounds like something worth checking out, Paul. We'll make sure we get the link to that up at rosieonthehouse.com. Before we get to Joanne, a quick text question. Tom is in Florence, and he has two eucalyptus trees on his property, and he sees this similar tree all over the town, but he can't identify what specifically it is. It says the leaves are blue and pointed, rough bark on the lower part, smooth upper bark. What type of eucalyptus? And he says, Colbin, ?
Well, there's about 150 varieties of of there you go. I like the music. There you go. There's about 150 varieties of eucalyptus that grow in native.
That's
in
it.
Australia.
150.
Only about 150.
Okay.
In Australia, but there's about 13 that are very commonly planted here in the Valley of the Sun. So among those 13, you might be looking at eucalyptus the kuliba, which is a bluish gray leaf, a pointed leaf, usually about 4 to 6 inches in length. But, you know, without seeing a picture of it, pretty hard to identify. You can go online. There's some great resources to look up the different features. You'll also want to look at the seed pods of eucalyptus because some of the leaves are so similar, you have to actually look at the fruiting portions, the reproductive portions of the tree to really get to zero in on the ID. And sometimes the little seed pods are one of the characteristics you need to look at to make a final determination.
150 eucalyptus varieties. I never would have guessed. Let's see how we can help Joanne in Glendale, who wants to talk about an evergreen. Go ahead, Joanne.
Thank you. Good morning. I have two evergreens, one on each side of my garage. The one I'm talking about is about 7 years old. It's one half of it faces the kind of like the inside where the pavement is, and the other side faces the outside of the house. The outside portion of this evergreen has turned completely brown, and the other half is completely green. Now, I haven't had any problem with this tree, but 2 years ago they put in cable lines between the houses. Would that have anything to do with this tree turning brown on just that one side?
I'm not sure. It depends how deep they and what kind of roots they might have caught. It's almost sounding to me a little bit like maybe an herbicide hit it.
Were these cables installed above ground or below ground?
They were below ground.
Okay. Yeah, that's a likely, you know, reason right there is if they had to trench close to the tree and there was damage to roots on that side of the tree, it very well could have affected that side of the tree that was dependent upon the roots that were cut. So I would...
It recover?
It just depends on what type of tree again. It was...
All I know is it's evergreen.
Yeah, it's really hard to tell if she wanted to take a picture of the tree, send it into our website, through our website contact page. We often can do some diagnostic work just from photographs alone, so that might be something to consider. Just go to www.itreeservice.com, itreeservice.com, and that will get you there.